Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to worship you and praise you and thank you that you're our Lord and our God and you're the great and mighty King of the universe. We thank you, Lord, that you're our God, our Lord, our Savior, our healer, our provider, our everything. Thank you, Father, for everything. Thank you for the abundance of all things you've given us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the food that you're going to give us today. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the automobiles we drive, the money we have. We know that everything has come from you, and we worship you and praise you and thank you for everything because you're the provider for everything. And we just worship you and praise you and thank you for this day. Now, Lord, as the word goes out today, I ask you to reveal to us your word. I ask you to enlighten our hearts and our minds to the word of God, that we may know and hear and understand this word and have revelation knowledge on it, so that we might go out and be changed. Help us to know who we are in Christ and what we can do in Christ. And, Lord, help us to control our tongue, which is the most powerful part of us, in Jesus' name. We worship you and praise you and thank you for this word as it goes out today in Jesus' mighty name. Now then, I'm going to tell you, yesterday we were, I'm going to talk a little bit more today about words because I think this is such a powerful thing when you begin to understand that the world that you live in, you have literally spoken it into existence with your mouth. You just don't realize the power of our tongues. And there's so many Christians that are weak and because they don't have joy. And the reason they're weak is because the Lord says the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you're not joyful in Christ, if you're not joyful in Him, you won't be as strong as you would be because you need to be boasting in joy. You need to be boasting in the Lord and about Him. And you need to be talking to people about Jesus. All the words that comes out of your mouth needs to bring glory and honor to the King. And if they will, well, then you will have great joy, and then you will have great strength. Now, I know many people that when they first hear me talk about these words, as I talk about the sin of foolish talking and unprofitable talking, and if you're not careful, you will brand me as a fanatic about these kind of things. But I'm going to tell you, if that's the case, it's probably one of your pet sins. So you need to declare that it is a mistake to do these kind of things. Now, some people will declare that it's, you know, you shouldn't take things so seriously. But I'm telling you will not be able to find any kind of scriptural defense for your view on that. Because if you're talking foolishly and all those things, you're probably not winning the lost. I want you to think about this. I ask this question in lots of churches that I go to. As I go, I ask this church, I take 50, 100, 200, 300 people in a congregation. And if you take a congregation, say, of 100 people, and I've done this many times, I'll ask the average congregation of 100 in a meeting, I'll say, I want to see a show of hands. How many of you have led at least one person to Christ in the last 30 days? And out of 100, you may have one or two. Very rarely more than that. Now then you can say, how about in the last year? And then you may have 5 or 10 out of 100. But then you can say in the last 5 years, and you might have 20 or 25 people. But let me tell you, folks, that's not a very good average. We need to be about the Lord's work. We need to be reading His Word, studying His Word, walking in the gifts of the Spirit, walking in power, so that where we go, people will get saved. Now, if you'll study God's Word, you'll hide it in your heart, you'll become aware of who you are and what you can do in the name of Jesus. There is no reason why you shouldn't win somebody to Jesus at least once a month. At least once a month. I now have people in my church that I have taught these things to. Some of them will come in every week or two or at least once a month praising God, telling me about how they led somebody to Christ this week, how it changed their life and the other person's life. Or I even have many people that will come to church now out of my little group that will come in and say, Brother Thurman, I went out this week. In fact, I'll just tell you an example. I had a man that's a contractor. He didn't know how to do these things. He started coming to my church about 6, 7, 8 months ago. This guy has so got a hold of the Word of God, he now is praying for the sick. And he was telling me about a lady that had an operation on a knee the other day. And when he saw her, he just told her, said, you know, Jesus wants to heal you. And he opened his Bible to Mark chapter 16, verse 18, and showed it to her. And she had a stiff knee, and it was popping every time she took a step. And he said, you know, Jesus, I just learned recently that Jesus wants to heal us. And he said, he'll do it. And so he showed her the Word of God in Mark chapter 16, verse 18, where the Word of God says, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And from that, that built her faith. He laid hands on her and asked the Father in the name of Jesus to heal her. And the Lord did it for him right there when she walked off. She had absolutely no more problem with that knee. And, of course, he was just so tickled to life that next week when he came into church, he wanted to give that testimony and tell what God had done for him. So, see, winning the lost and bringing deliverance and healing to the suffering is absolutely serious business. And I'm telling you, it requires the whole heart and mind of the one who is consecrated to the task. Yet many insist on talking in whatever manner they choose. Many people will prefer their jokes or their foolish jesting and their nonsense over the power of God in their lives. You can't have both. You have to do it God's way. If this is the way you feel, God will just have to go on without you. Now then, if God goes on without you, or you go on without Him, let's put it either way. But if you're not attached to the vine, which is Jesus, then I'm going to tell you, you can't do anything. So you might as well stay at home. You can't get anybody saved, anybody healed, or anybody delivered. If the Lord doesn't go with you, you're not going to get it done. Now, God has chosen to work through this spoken word of you and me here on this world. When Jesus was here, he said to his disciples, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He told that to us in John 6. What about the words you speak? Think about these. Some of you will say that joking helps you to forget your troubles. Well, Jesus forgot his troubles by relieving the troubles of others. Now, James compares the speech coming out of our mouth to water coming from a fountain. In James chapter 3, you need to read that whole chapter. But in James chapter 3, he insists that a fountain should give forth the same kind of water all the time. Not sweet water part of the time and bitter water part of the time. Then he adds, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now that's in James 3 also. Now in Ephesians 4:29, let's know what the Lord says in Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4:29, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Words which do not edify are idle. They're vain, they're empty, they're unprofitable words, and they are wasted words. God gives authority and power to the believer. This is His precious gift to us, and it should not be wasted. Now, Jesus said, whosoever, now let's you and me think about that. Whosoever, who is that? That's you and me. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now that's in Mark 11:23. That promise is so powerful that most Christians have never memorized that verse. They don't think they can do that. They read that and think that's so powerful. That got to be something wrong with that verse. But this gives us the power to speak with authority, even to the intent of controlling things. Now, in the same power, it is that same power that Jesus used when he spoke to the wind and the sea and he calmed the storms over there in Mark 4:39. It's the same power Moses used when he spoke to the rock in the desert and water gushed forth. Joshua used the same power when he commanded the sun and the moon to stand still over in Joshua chapter 10. Jesus demonstrated this power when he spoke to the fig tree, saying, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." Now, he commanded the tree to die, and it died. It was on this occasion that he expressly delegated this same power and authority to all of us who believe. Men and women who have God's power in their words can speak deliverance from every oppression of Satan. Words that bring salvation for the soul and healing for the body. To them, his representatives, Jesus warned that idle, wasted words would be brought into judgment. Words which could have been life, deliverance, and bread to the starving souls, but instead were words of chaff. Now, in a world of dying, starving souls and suffering humanity, how sad it is to withhold the one source of life and deliverance and offer stones for bread. Instead of being a fountain which gives forth a pure water of life, too many give forth a stream of froth and foolishness, which, if not poisonous, is utterly unattractive and unprofitable. How will we measure up in that day when our deeds and our words are judged by the standards of the Word of God? If any man speak, let him speak as the words of God. That's in 1 Peter 4. Those who insist on continuing in their foolishness are like a group of young people who were seen in a vision by a consecrated saint of God. They were too busy making daisy chains to warn the passerbys that their steps were leading to impending danger. Just ahead was an awful thing that was going to happen, and these people would be fall upon the rocks, and they would be dashed to death. You know, this kind of selfish preoccupation is far from the Spirit of Christ, who has compassion upon the multitudes. I'd like to invite you to call me at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. I'd be happy to send you audio and video tapes on all these teachings that I do. Also, I'd like to invite you out to our church every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. in North Dallas. That's at 10921 Shady Trail. 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. I'd also like to invite you to our healing school. We have a healing school. We teach you how to walk in health and divine health and how to be healed if you're sick. We do this at the same location that we have church, at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. It starts at 1 p.m. the second Saturday of every month. We teach you how to be healed or how to walk in divine health. So we would love to have you come and praise the Lord with us.